wow, she's hired, isn't she? That was so good. How many people are ready for God's word? Come on, how many people are ready for God's word? We're going to have some fun this morning. Not that we don't have fun other weeks, but we're going to have an engaging, interactive skit that's going to happen this morning. I'd like to tell you that I've asked people in advance to be a part of this, but I haven't. I'm not even looking for volunteers. I'm looking for voluntolds. You understand that? And I've been eyeing you. I've already figured out who I want to use for this. Well, we're in a sermon series called Revolution. And the word revolution can actually mean a sudden change or a shift in a society or in a culture. And we have sensed God saying to us that he wants to shift some things in our church culture so that we would grow and become more like what the Bible teaches us. So we're in a series on serving, and I want to take you to probably the most common and familiar parable in the entire Bible. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And probably most of you, if not all of you, have heard and recall some parts, if not all of it. So I want to invite you to pull out your sermon note. It's on the back of your bulletin, or you can pull it up on your handheld device. Now, I need some people to be a part of this, so here goes. I've already got some of it figured out in my head. There's got to be the certain man to be in the parable. So Pastor Kyle, you're the man. Come on, buddy. Give me a hand, everybody. Come on, get up here, get up here. Come on. And Pastor Kyle, you got something to wear here, so I want you to put that on. Now, this parable has some robbers. Robbers, do you feel like you're robber-like? And Cameron, can you bring some of your buddies up here? I need five of you big boys total. Come on, bring them up. Come on, come on, come on. You need one more. One more. Who's going to join? There's a number five. Come on. Now, I want you to put on robber hats. They're all Boston Bruin hats. They're mine, so don't mess them up. What? And now, guys, when you put on these hats, I know you're supposed to go like this, but you're robbers, man. So you put it sideways. No, not front ways. Sideways or back ways. Come on, guys. Do one of these. Come on. Put on your hat. Get your little thing here that you're going to. There's your hat right here. You're not left out. Don't worry. All right? We need someone who's like a priest, who looks very dignified, someone with a black shirt and glasses. James, you're the man. Come on. Come on. You look like priest. And I want you to put on this robe right here. Good. Get your Bible and look very priest-like. Mackenzie, can you help me? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. You're going to be the Levite, all right? You put this on right here. That's all good. We got the Levite. And we need somebody to be the good Samaritan. Someone really good, really good. I actually haven't picked this person out yet, but I'm kind of looking around, seeing who I want. Julius, you're the guy. Come on up, buddy. Come on, give me a hand. Come on up. Come on. There's your stuff right here. You got a bunch of props. It's right here. Yeah, put the hood on. Now, this parable has a donkey. We need a donkey. I can't think of a better guy. Pastor Matt, come on up. No. You're not the donkey. You're not the donkey. This is what you wear. Wow, he wants to be the donkey. Come on, Pastor Matt. You're the donkey. Come on, everybody give Pastor Matt a hand. Come on. Come on, donkey, run. All right, and we need an innkeeper. An innkeeper. Oh, Matt, come on up, buddy. You be the innkeeper. You can do this. Come on up. And you put that on right here, Matt. All right, I want all the actors, actresses to come right over, stand right over here, get in the dark. Keep quiet. This is my skit. You're just actors. Yep. Oh, whoa. Good Samaritan. Who's Good Samaritan? You got to bring all your props. And Levite, Bible. Here you go. All right. So if you remember the parable, we're about to read in just a moment that there's two cities. One is called Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem. The other city is called Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. Jericho.
And when you read the parable, we're going to read in a couple moments about this guy who actually goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So this side over here is going to be Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem. This side away over here is going to be Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. And the road in those days from Jerusalem to Jericho, it went down like 3,000 feet, and it was 17 miles long, and it was rocky. So these chairs are going to be rocks, all right? And because it was rocky and it was rugged, and a lot of thieves and robbers would hide behind the rocks and rob people. So I want you robbers to get behind these rocks. Come on, hide behind a rock. Come on, robbers. Come on, robbers, get down in your position and hide behind the rocks. All good. And we're going to act out this skit. They've had many opportunities to rehearse this, as you know. And not really sure how this is going to go, but here it goes. Verse 25, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And so in essence, he's quoting from the Old Testament these powerful words which are re-quoted in the New Testament, which teaches us to love God and to love people. And so Jesus said to him, "You've answered correctly." That's verse 28. "Do this and you will live." Look at verse 29. "But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor? How far and wide must this love thing extend for?'" So Jesus goes on to share a parable. And a parable is an earthly story that has a kingdom principle to it. Now we're going to act it out. So actors, are you all ready? You going to work with me? Come on, people. Are you ready for this? If you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
All right. Here it goes. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Come on, man. Just Jerusalem to Jericho. It's funny up till this next part. When he was attacked by robbers. Come on, robbers, let him have it. Okay, stop, stop, stop. Okay, guys, they stripped him of his clothes. You guys can take that other garment off. Just that one? No.
Come on, man.
That's it. This is church. It says they stripped him of his clothes, beat him. It's right there. Okay. Pastor Kyle, here is your favorite part. They went away.
Go away!
Leaving him, no surprise, half dead. Half dead. Give us your half dead look. All right. A priest. Come on, priest. This is your moment. Look really religious and spiritual. Happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. He just said, "Tough to be you." Verse 32, so too a Levite. Come on, Levite. When she came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. Wonderful. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, he wasn't walking, he was on his donkey. Come on, donkey, get down. Now, donkeys sometimes Buck their hind legs up. Show us, stand back. Come on, buck your back legs up. And donkeys make loud sounds. Come on, donkey, my mic's down here. All right, you're doing great. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, get on your donkey. No, no, both legs over. One leg. Atta boy. All right, come on, let's go. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. The donkey became quiet. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him. Go to him. He bandaged his wounds. There's your bandage. Just bandage his wounds. Just kind of wrap them around him a bit. Atta boy. Good. And put one on his leg. Pastor Joe, he's going to have to fill out an accent report form after the service today. And then it says he poured oil and wine on him. Generously. Generously. On his head. On his head. All of it. It's your skit. Go ahead. And he put him on his donkey. And he brought him to the inn. Okay, innkeeper. All right. All right. Stand right here, innkeeper. Okay, come to the inn. He took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii. That's the Canadian Tire money. Gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. Let's go ahead and say that. When I return, I will reimburse you.
I will give you the full amount
for an extra expense you may have.
For any expense you may have incurred.
Jesus said, "Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Would you give these wonderful people a hand? Thank you. Oh, boy. I want to talk to you for a couple of moments about one of the most familiar parables in the Bible. Before I share these thoughts, would you bow your heads with me? God, I'm asking that your scripture would just resonate so truthfully and come alive to each one of us today. I'm asking, oh God, that we would be challenged, we would be encouraged, and we would be helped by your word today. Thank you, God, for your word. We love you, and we love your scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 things that I want to share with you today. The first thing is I want to give you 3 possible attitudes that we can have when it comes to serving. Number 1, write this in your notes, I can keep my distance. And when you look at verse 30 and verse 31, we learned that this man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. We learned that he was attacked by robbers. We learned that they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they left him half dead. And a priest, I mean, this religious priest, comes by, goes down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Our text says that the priest just happened to be going down the road. Now, church, there's something I've learned in my life, that life doesn't just happen. God orders moments. God brings people in our path. God gives us God opportunities that he wants to use us. I believe that this priest had a God moment and a God opportunity to help the man that was beaten and bruised, but he went to the other side. Why did he go to the other side? Why did he keep his distance? I don't know. You could probably come up with many reasons. Maybe he thought the man was dead, and in that culture, if you touched a dead body, you were defiled. Maybe he thought, we'll let someone else do it. Maybe he was afraid that the robbers would come back and get him. Maybe he was late for supper. Maybe he felt he had something more important to do. I want to declare today that Ottawa, the people that you go to school with, the people you work with, your neighbors, the people all across the city, there's so many broken, hurting people. And I've discovered that one of the main things that can stop you and stop me from being serving-hearted people to this great city is busyness. I mean, we're so busy. And sometimes we're so busy, we get tunneled vision, and we get up and we get going, and we think, I've got to get my coffee, I've got to get to work quick. And we get up in the morning, we come to church, I've got to hurry and get to church, I've got to rush and get all things done, I've got somewhere to be. And busyness can rob us from God moments. Many people say to me, Mark, I am so busy, I just don't have any time in my day to serve and to help. Mark, my week is so busy, I don't have any extra time. Can I put you to the test for a moment? If I this morning had box seats to your favorite hockey team playing, all the food included, free parking, would you make time to go to that game? I would suggest that many of you would find the time. Maybe you don't like hockey, but you like shopping. And I had a $1,000 gift card to the Bayshore Mall, and there's only 2 hours that you could use it in this week. I'm convinced you would change your schedule to use that card. Isn't it true? We can find time for what matters to us. There's a prayer that I've been praying for me, and I've been praying for us as a church, and it's, oh God, would you break the heart of me with what breaks your heart? May we never be a people that keep our distance. It's so easy to keep our distance. It's so easy to show up to church, sing our songs, give in the offering, hear a message, go home, and come back next week and isolate ourselves from the people that Jesus died for and loves. Jesus said, love God, love people. We must never be a church that keeps our distance. The second attitude that I see is I can be curious but uninvolved. This was the Levite. In verse 32, a Levite comes to the place and literally gets right close to the man that is beaten and wounded. And he checks it out and he sees this. And for whatever reason, this religious Levite, which was an assistant in the temple, saw the need but kept going. I don't know why the Levite kept going. Maybe the Levite thought, just like the priest, maybe the Levite thought, I've got other things to do, other places to be. Someone else can take care of this. But the Levite was so curious and got so close, but chose to be uninvolved. But it's the third attitude that I want to challenge you and me with. I want to invite us to have the third attitude. I can be loving by serving. Because when you love God, you love people. And what I see in our text in verse number 33 is that a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and he saw him, and he met his needs. I mean, when you read the parable, you would fully expect a priest to meet the needs of someone that is beaten. I mean, isn't that the priest's job? Isn't the religious priest supposed to do this? But the priest didn't. Wasn't it the job of a Levite who would be an assistant in the temple? Wouldn't you think that the Levite would do it, but the Levite didn't? And then Jesus throws a shock into the parable. The least expected person to help would be a Samaritan. A Samaritan wasn't full-blooded Jewish. A Samaritan was half-Jewish. I mean, Jews despise the Samaritans. Jewish people dislike the Samaritans. The animosity between Samaritans and Jews in that culture and in that day was huge. But here, a Samaritan is going down the road. The most unexpected person stopped and helped. My prayer is, God, would we be the unexpected person. And I want to leave you today with number two. I want to give you four servanthood principles that I saw in our text with how the Good Samaritan reached out to that man that was beaten, stripped of his clothes, and left half dead. The first thing that I want to challenge you and me with, number one, is I must be sensitive. And in verse 33, it tells us very clearly, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, it started with his eyes. He saw him. Again, we can get that tunneled vision that we can miss seeing a broken world. We can get so occupied and so busy that we don't see the needs. God, would you break my heart with what breaks your heart? But before our hearts can be broken, we must see the needs. My prayer is, God, open the eyes of my heart that I would see the needs of our city. They're so great. Before I can care, I must become aware. And my prayer today is when we walk out of this auditorium in a little bit, that we would have eyes that are opened by the Spirit to see a broken world. Did you know there's people right here in this auditorium that are broken and feeling very discouraged? And they're hoping and wanting someone to notice them and see that they're hurting. Would we be that person? May we never live our life so me-focused that we lose sight of the needs that are around us. I must be sensitive. The second thing is I must be sympathetic. It starts with our eyes. We see the need, and then it moves to our heart, and our heart begins to get broken with what breaks the heart of God. I mean, in our text, it says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. That means he had compassion. That means his heart was broken when he saw the brokenness, and he saw the needs. Oh God, what breaks my heart needs to be what breaks your heart. Oh, I never want to be a person that just goes by and sees something and not be moved by it. I never want to become so desensitized that I don't break over hurting people. That when I see the needy and poor in our city, and I see the hurting people walking into the doors of our church, and when I meet people in our neighborhoods that have needs, may I always be broken for what they are broken over. It was 1982 that I first met Evelyn. And when I saw her in the tuck shop at our Bible college, and honey, I'm sorry, but this is just true. When I saw you, I was like, wow, wow, wow. 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 And we go out on a date. Oh, man. She started to tell me about herself. I mean, I'm a high D personality. I'm wired. I'm high A. I love to talk. Did you notice that? I love to be busy. But as she's talking to me on that first date, I was looking at her and listening with all that's within me. Keep talking, girl. This is amazing. May this date never end. I listen. I believe that we need to get back in our minds to that first date principle, where we just open our ears and listen to the hurting. I mean, it was Friday. It's my day off. And I got up early and I did my normal routine where I went out, got a little coffee at my favorite coffee place, and I'm going to go to the gym and just quickly get my workout in so I can get home and take my lovely bride out for the afternoon and spend some time with her. And I had the day all planned. And I walked into the gym, and who's walking out of the gym at the same time is someone in our community that I've known for many years, and I've lost track of him. And I tell you, it was a God moment. I stopped. I asked him how he's doing. I asked him how his wife is doing, how his daughter is doing, and we spent lots of time as he just shared with me, and I embraced him, and I hugged him, and said, I'm praying for you. And did it set me behind schedule? Yes. But we got to be a people that are willing to not live our lives by our timetable, but by God's timetable. I can't begin to tell you how many times I'm on my way to the hospital to visit someone, and I hit every red light, and there's construction on the Queensway, and I'm frustrated because I'm getting behind schedule, and I've got my day all planned out, and I get to the hospital, and I'm walking down the hallway. This happens all the time, and someone from our church is walking in that hallway at the exact same time, and they're just hoping that they would see someone that they know because they're hurting at that moment. And I tell you, church, I think God made all those lights go red, and he ordered construction on the Queensway so we would cross paths in that divine moment, so that we would have a God encounter, so we can just let God use us. Church, God orders your steps. Do you believe that today? Do you really believe that today? I carve so many minutes in my day to be at the gym, and I plan out my day, but I can't begin to tell you how many times lately God interrupts my plans, and someone opens their heart, and I just listen. Just listen. I'm getting my eyes tested this week. This past week, I needed to get new glasses. My eyes are, well, you know, you get to an age, you need progressive lenses, a.k.a. bifocals. And the optometrist is making me read the chart, and you got to know me. I read the chart before I sat in the chair. He said, read the bottom line. I said, made in China. Before long, he's opening his heart. He's telling me some of his life journey. I'm in a dark room as he's checking my eyes. Someone I've never met before, telling me what they're walking through. You see, church, we can be a people that live our life by our agenda, by our timetable. I gotta come to church. I've gotta get my service in. I gotta hurry up and have lunch. Like, come on, Mark, don't you know it's Super Bowl tonight? Yeah, I know it's Super Bowl. But there's something more important than Super Bowl. There's something more important than my agenda and your agenda. It's called God moments and God opportunities. I believe that as people of the Spirit, God will give us moments and opportunities to share his love. I'm challenging you today, don't miss those moments. I happen to believe that God has put you in the business he wants you in. I happen to believe that God has given you the house where you live by design. I happen to believe that God puts the right people in the right place at the right time to be kingdom advancers. You can go to work tomorrow morning and go, oh man, just got to get through my day so I can pay the bills. Or you can get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for my job and the people you have placed around me. Would you use me today to be your love and your hands extended? Well, Mark, I don't know what to say. Listen, be sensitive, be sympathetic, and watch what God is going to do. About 3 years ago, Evelyn and I walked through a very difficult journey where she again had to walk the difficult road of cancer. And to be very transparent, it wasn't fun. Anybody who's walked disease in their family, it's tough. And I'll be honest with you, and I feel a little guilty to say this, but some of you are going to understand it. Sometimes it's tougher for the spouse who's going through it than the one who's walking through it. And they feel guilty about it because they feel like they're hurting more than the one who's walking the disease. We're walking through it, and it wasn't easy. And Evelyn had her surgery booked. We got there real early on a morning, and we're driving to the hospital. We got there real early. And there's these benches outside of the hospital. And there's these people sitting in the benches. And you don't see that time of morning. That's just not the way it works. And I just kind of saw them. But as our car drove by, I began to go, hey, there's Marvin. Hey, there's Brad. There's Shelly. There's Job. My entire pastoral team was sitting in those benches and got to the hospital before us just to let us know that they love us and they're with us in the journey. I don't think you guys know how much that meant to us. Your presence spoke louder than any words you can ever say. There's some of you sitting in this place today and your hearts are so broken. We could end this service and walk out. But I'm asking you, walk out led by the Spirit and watch what the Spirit does to lead you to reach out to someone. I need you. You need me. And we need each other. And the greatest need for this city is Jesus. Come on, church. The greatest need of this city is Jesus. So we can be like the religious priests. Praise God. I'm saved. I tithe. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't want to be religious. I want to walk in a personal relationship with God, led by His Spirit, caring for the hurting. I don't want to go to the other side and keep my distance. Well, come on, Mark, if we get too close to the people in our city, it's going to take us away from our holiness. Mark, we don't want to get contaminated by Ottawa. Can I remind you that God left the holiness of heaven and came to a broken world as a baby and was placed in a dirty feeding trough that was meant for animals. He wasn't born in the fanciest hotel. He was born in a barn. He came for you and me. I think we need to be willing to get out and incarnate this world, this city, for Jesus Christ. Come on, give a clap offering of praise to the Lord. Number one, I must be sensitive. God, open my eyes so that I will see the needs that are around me. Where I work, where I live, where I go to school. Number two, break my heart, God. Make me sympathetic. Let it get into my heart. We won't truly do things for the kingdom of God in the city until we are so broken on the inside. I must be sympathetic. But then there's number three. I must be spontaneous. I read verse 34. Look at your text. It says, he went to him. The good Samaritan comes by and he sees the man that's bruised and beaten and broken and stripped naked. And he came to him. He didn't stand back and say, hey, you want help? Come to me. I can't begin to tell you how many times we are so Canadian, but we miss it scripturally. We go, well, if there's anything I can do for you, give me a call. I'm here for you. Just from my experience, most people won't call. What we need to do is take the first step and reach out to them and not expect them to pick up the phone or to text us or Facebook us or email us. We need to be the ones that reach to them. Let's not be so Canadian that we feel we have to keep in our little isolated shelves. Well, if you need help, give me a call. I'm here for you. No, let's get up, let's go to them, and let's do all we can and be spontaneous and take the initiative to help others. Come on, are you with me today, Woodville? When you're spontaneous, you take the initiative. And when you're spontaneous, you use what you have. I've read this text so many times, and I used to think, wow, the guy was traveling with an emergency kit of Band-Aids and medical supplies. Not the case. I mean, he's on a donkey, and he's traveling from one city to the next. Oh, I know it says he had some oil and wine, but you know what? That wasn't in his medical kit. that was part of his food supplies. He looked into his food supplies and saw what he had. And he had some wine. And wine, alcohol, would be an anesthetic, and he poured it on the wounds to clean out the wounds. And he had some oil in his lunchbox, and oil would bring a soothness to the brokenness. God's not asking you to give what you don't have. He's asking you to use what you do have. We have time, we have talents, and we have stuff. God wants us to use what we have. Well, Mark, the text says that he bandaged his wounds. He didn't have bandages and some kit. I'll tell you what he did. Oh, he didn't take the clothes from the broken, bruised man and use that as bandages because the robbers had took that. He probably took his own shirt and he ripped it up. His nice new shirt that he got for Christmas. And he ripped it up. And he bandaged the wounds. I'm Canadian. I got more than one shirt in my closet. I got more than one pair of shoes at home. We are so blessed. God is not asking you to give what you don't have. He's asking you to use what you have. Your oil. Your wine. Your giftings. I'll tell you, when you're sensitive and led by the Spirit, watch out. God's going to use us like we've never seen before. God is calling us to be a good Samaritan church. And so, friends, it was so spontaneous. I must be sensitive. I must be sympathetic. And I must be spontaneous. And then there's number four. I must be sacrificial. It says he put the man on his own donkey. You got to understand, a donkey doesn't carry two people. A donkey carries one. And so in other words, for him to put the bruised man on his donkey, it meant he would have to walk. Oh, let me remind you, it was 17 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho. Oh, let me remind you, it wasn't a smooth, flat road. It went downhill, and it was rocky, and it was filled with crevices. And he got off his donkey. And he said, you, I'm putting you on my donkey. I'll walk. And he walked all those miles as the wounded was on his donkey. And he got to the inn, and he opened up his wallet, and he paid the bill. I mean, I don't understand the currency of that day. I mean, I had Canadian Tire money that they used in the skit, and it says he pulled out 2 denarii, and I looked up what 2 denarii was, and that didn't help me until I studied this week, and I realized that in that day and in that culture, 2 denarii would probably pay for 2 months in a local hotel. I'm just asking you, at $150 a night times 60, you do the math. Would you kick out that much to help someone you don't know? And then to show up and say, hey, when I come back, if you use the internet and it costs, I'll pay for it. If you open up the fridge in the hotel and had some pop and juice and took the peanuts and the chips, oh, I'll pay for it. Whatever he used, I'll cover it. I'll make the sacrifice. I just believe that God is calling me. And he's calling you to make the sacrifice. I just believe that God is calling you and God is calling me to be a people that are sensitive. People that are sympathetic. People that are spontaneous. And people that are sacrificial. Oh, we can just be like the priest. I'm too busy. Let the government do it. Let the local ministries in our city do it. Let someone else do it. Or we can be like the Levite and get real up close and go, my, isn't that awful? I sure hope somebody deals with this mess. Or we can be like the Good Samaritan. Get right close. Pour the oil, the wine. Bandage the wounds. Put them on our donkey. Take him to the local place. And help him get on his feet. All I know is that the answer for Ottawa and the answer for this city is Jesus Christ. Let those who know tell those who don't. Ottawa doesn't care how much we know until they know how much we care. I'll say it again. If we close the doors of this church and knock this building down and stop existing, would anybody in Ottawa miss us? My prayer is that every church, Bible-believing church in this city and in this nation, will get outside of the walls of the building and incarnate their city and tangibly show the love of Jesus and share the hope in Jesus. And you watch what God begins to do as we become a Good Samaritan church. As for me, I'm all in. My question today, are you? Father God, I thank you for this amazing church. We are on a journey. You are stirring our hearts on a culture of serving. And Father, I believe that your Holy Spirit is doing something in this place that is so supernatural. I even believe, God, as I'm praying right now, that your Holy Spirit is stirring the hearts of men and women in this place. Somehow, God, I sense in my spirit that you are now doing a new breaking of our hearts with what breaks your heart. I just ask, God, that we would not just see the needs, but we would be broken by the needs, and we would rise up and do something about the needs. So, God, help us to not act like the priest in this story. Help us to not act like the Levites, but help us to be like the Good Samaritan. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look this way. At the end of this parable, Jesus asked the expert in the law, who do you think really showed love to the neighbor? And the expert in the law said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, you're right. Go and do likewise. And as I close this message, I want to camp for just a moment on the word go. It's a misunderstood word. Jesus didn't say, go, go, go. No, in the original Greek, the tense of that word is not so much a command, go. It's as you go about your life. As you go about your life, do likewise. God is not asking you to go. God is asking you to live your life and allow him to come and show up as you do your life and give you God moments, because you can reach people that I can't reach. But when we all do our part, God's going to be glorified and needs are going to be met. So my prayer, Woodvale, is that we would love the Lord thy God with all our mind, our heart, our soul, and our strength. And we would love our neighbor as ourselves. Love God
love people. If we really love God, we will love what God loves. And I want to close this message by saying, there's nobody that your eyes have seen that God doesn't love. God loves everybody. I want you to stand. Pastor Brad, before we even come to a close, I want you to lead us in a song. And I want the house just to feel free to lift their hands from youngest to eldest. And as we worship in this song, I want to ask you just to love God, just to express worship to Him. And I believe as we start to worship, Holy Spirit is going to break in and break our hearts with what breaks His. So let's sing. Let's worship. Come on, Woodville. Let's lift our voice.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the dark.
Asking that everyone's heads would be bowed, everyone's eyes would be closed. I cannot close this service without asking this one question. If today was the day that you stepped into eternity, do you know that 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 heaven is where you will spend eternity? Was there a time, was there a place, was there a moment that you personally asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? Some people tell me, Mark, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't. You might be raised in a church, but there had to be a moment that you personally accepted the love of God and asked Him to be your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you know? If today was the day that you passed away and stepped into eternity, that heaven will be your home. I believe that there's a number of you in this second morning service that you can't answer that question with a definite yes. And I've sensed in my heart there's some of you watching on live streaming that you're like, I can't answer that with yes. But I want to be ready. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer of receiving Christ. And I just believe that there's a number of you this morning, you're like, I'm not ready, but I want Christ to come into my life. I want Him to be the center of my life, and I want to be led in this prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to count the three. And after I count the three, if you want to be led in a prayer to ask Christ to be the center of your life, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Just lift your hand high after I count the three. And by lifting your hand high, you're letting me know, Pastor, I want Christ to be the center of my life. I want to be ready for heaven. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. So I'm going to count the three. And if that's you, I want you to lift your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, you just lift your hand as high as you can. Yeah. Yeah. We're up in the balcony. All across this auditorium, yeah. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Anyone else? You lifted your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to join you as you pray. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I ask you into my life.
I ask you into my life.
Please forgive me of my sins.
Please forgive me of my sins.
I have decided to follow you.
I've decided to follow you.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Be my peace.
Be my peace.
Today,
today,
I invite you into my life.
I invite you into my life.
I pray this now.
I pray this now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on, Woodville, it's party time. Come on, come on, it's party time. There was a whole bunch of people in first service and a whole bunch of people in second service that crossed the line and took the next step and asked Jesus Christ in their life. Come on, one more time, we need to celebrate that. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And if you accepted Christ into your life, before you go this morning, drop by the wall in the main lobby that says follow. And there's some friendly people there. If you don't own a Bible, we want to give you as our gift a Bible. It's free. We got a little booklet. It's free. And if you're still checking out Christianity, come to Alpha on Wednesday night. If you know someone that's checking out Christianity, bring them to Alpha on a Wednesday night. And if this is your church, get into a connect group. We got 70-plus connect groups all across the city. Get into a connect group. And I believe the Spirit of God is going to draw so many of you over the next number of weeks to go to the serve wall. And drop by there if you want to find a place of serving in the church. We will find you a place. And if you're our guest, can we one more time thank all our guests for coming today? Come on, let's thank them. We're honestly so glad on a snowy day that you came.